Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody who's here this morning, that you were able to get out from wherever you came from across the city, the counties here around us. I want to say welcome to you there. Welcome to those who are on our social media platforms there. If you're there on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, any of those platforms, be sure to heart, share, like, subscribe, follow us. Do all those things. It'll just help to get the word out to others. I want to welcome those who are listening in on each one of those different platforms, even those who are on our phone live streaming. I want to say welcome to you also. We know some of you weren't able to get out. Maybe there's worse conditions at your house. We wanted to make sure that you felt safe, so that's fine that you were able to stay home there. But please do share that with others. I want to encourage you at home, especially if you have access to our church website, to go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin. Those are at the doors. The guys are giving those out. If you didn't get one, be sure to get one of those today. The children's worship bulletins are in the windowsill over here to my right. I don't really see a lot of children here for children's church, so we probably won't do children's church this morning unless a bunch of them came in here in the last few minutes. But you can pick those up. You can share those with others. You can download it there from the info page on the church website. And then also don't forget the prayer list is on there. Be sure to take the time to download that. Those are in the magazine rack out across from the offices out here in the hallway, so be sure to grab one of those. And then if you're a guest here with us this morning, a first-time guest especially, we want to ask if you will to make sure to pick up one of the bags at the sides of the stage, at the doors as you leave on the outside there. Be sure to pick up one of those. If you brought a guest with you, make sure they get one. It's got some things in it about our church, got some things in it we want to share with you to say thank you for being here with us this morning. And so we're looking forward to a wonderful worship service this morning. Again, we'll make some other announcements a little bit later, but this is the only service that we're having today. There's no more other activities that we're doing today. We'll talk about some of those here in just a little bit, but just wanted to go ahead and put that out there for those online. So Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
Well, good morning, all. Glad it didn't materialize into a North Pole like they had planned. But stand with us and sing a song. We don't sing a lot, but come Christians, join to sing, and we'll do all three of the verses.
This on, Ben? Okay, all right. Just wanted to make sure that. As you notice in your bulletins, we come to our missionary of the moment week of the week. Our missionary is Danilo Miranda. He is serving the American peoples, and what that simply means is those in Brazil, especially, who are headed to Africa there. He said the unexpected blessing of what God had done in their lives through the Rio de Janeiro airport. He ran across some people there who were commissioned to Brazil as missionaries headed to Africa. The two, they embraced and prayed together. Danilo felt joy knowing his encouragement had played a role in his friend's journey as a global missionary partner. And so his work is mostly in Brazil to the South American peoples. And so we want to encourage you to be praying for Danilo Miranda, as well as all of our missionaries who are serving around the world. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for these missionaries. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the blessings that you've given to us, Lord, that we can be a blessing to these missionaries who are serving in our place, who have answered the call to go to places we'll never be able to go to. Father, they are sharing the gospel in far-reaching places and meeting people even in places like airports in Rio de Janeiro. Father, I pray that as you hear our prayers this morning, be with Danilo Miranda and Lord, the ministry you're working in his heart and his life there in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Father, we just pray that you will have your hand upon him, Lord, as others are being called to the mission field from there to go to places even like Africa. And so, Lord, we pray that you will encourage and empower Danilo as he helps to equip others to become those global partners for the sake of the gospel. Lord, be with our Moldova missionaries and continue to bless them and the needs that they have. Be with all of our missionaries around North America and around the world. We pray a hedge of protection about them, and we ask your blessings upon them. And Lord, I pray that we will give each and every Sunday to our tithes and offerings, knowing that in our gifts we are giving to support those missionaries staying on the field, as well as those special offerings that we take each Christmas and each Easter, and then also for our Tennessee missions in the end of summer. So, Father, we just pray your blessings on our service this morning. We know many people aren't able to be here this morning, so we pray, Lord, for your protection upon them. We thank you, Lord, for watching over us during this time. But, Lord, we also want to uplift those who have lost loved ones in these past days and ask, God, that you would have your hand upon them, Lord, to comfort and encourage their hearts in these days ahead. Father, we pray that you would bless us as we come to worship you. We give everything we have and everything we are to you, and we ask for your blessings upon us this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, I just wanted to share a few things with you, actually more things than I normally share with you during this announcement time. Just want to remind you of the Christmas tree over here to my right, reminding us of our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We have not reached our goal yet. Our goal is 8,000. We've received 5,630 so far. So I want to encourage you to continue to give towards that, to help us to reach that goal. Also, don't forget the post office that we have out here. We still have a few Christmas cards that are left out there. Be sure before you leave this morning that you at least go around that way, even if you parked out this way, go around that way and make sure, because there are some of you that I see that do leave out that door that have some out there in the post office thing. So I don't want to call you out by name. So just be sure to stop there. You may not have any, and that's okay, but there are some who do. Just want to remind you, because we had the snow this past weekend and everything, if we have snow during the week for our Wednesday snow days, if Tullahoma City schools are closed on Wednesday due to weather, we won't have Wednesday night supper, we won't have Awana, we won't have Wednesday night nursery. So just wanted to remind you of that if something should come up in the days and weeks ahead. Don't expect anything this week, but maybe the next week we could have some issues. So just wanted to put that out there for you. You'll notice also, because we canceled all of our activities today, our women's Bible study was supposed to start today. That is going to start next week, next Sunday. And so I want to encourage you to it's just going to bump everything out a week there. So ladies, if you have not signed up yet, you still got today and all this week, you can take the time to do that. I want to remind you too, as we begin this new year, of our Bible app that we have, the YouVersion Bible app. Be sure to download that if you've not. We're going through, and I've asked others to join with me in a Bible reading plan of reading chronologically through the Bible. throughout this year. And so I encourage you to take the time to scan that QR code. Once you do it, you just search for our, or you can just search it on your Google app or your the App Store on the Apple Apple place there. Be sure to download it. Once you do, you'll search for our church, and once you discover it, you click that this is your church, and then it'll show you the Bible reading plan that we're doing. On there right now, it's the Ephesians one, but we'll add this reading through the Bible plan there this week. Also want to remind you, we were supposed to have had yesterday our church council meeting for those who are involved with that. That has been pushed to next Saturday from 9 to 10. Primetimers is still on, so those of you who are involved with that, and if you're at home, we will still have Primetimers on Tuesday at 12 o'clock. Bring your favorite soup, salad, and or sandwich to share, so I want to encourage you to do that. Brother Mark Puckett is doing a Bible study on between the Testaments, that 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He's doing that at the associational office on Thursdays at 6:30 for 9 weeks. If you're interested in that, you can enroll by emailing the association email there at duckriverbaptist@gmail.com, and you can enroll there through that. And then also don't forget, we put some of these at the doors. It's just a little card here on one side. It says, "Be still and know that God, that I am God," Psalm 46:10. On the other side, it's got a 2025 calendar. We want to encourage you to pick these up because we want you to share these with others. One of the reasons we want you to share this with others is because, as we emphasized last year, we encouraged you to ask people, "How can I pray for you?" Well, that little QR code that's up in the right-hand corner there is a QR code that anyone can scan. Once you scan that, it'll take you to a page that we have on our website that you can then enter prayer request. And so encourage you to take the time to do that and to download that and do the prayer request there. The other thing I wanted to mention to you, we mentioned this in the call out that Lee Stevenson passed away. The funeral arrangements have been made. And so we wanted to share that with you today. We'll also do this in a call out, so you'll still get a call out later today on this, because there's some who aren't watching us online or listening to us on the phone live streaming. We want to make sure they're aware of the arrangements also. But visitation will be held this Friday at Kilgore Funeral Home from 5 to 8 for Lee Stevenson. That's going to be at the funeral home on Friday from 5 to 8. And the funeral service is going to be here at the church on Saturday at 1 o'clock, and so I want to encourage you to come and support Miss Susie in the passing of Brother Lee. So just wanted to make sure you're aware of all that. Brother Mike.
First John 4:16 says, "God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God." Join us as we sing "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling," and I don't have them behind me singing today, so you guys sing at me. "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling." Just ring. Thou art please stand with us and join with At the Cross. And I want to hear you a little more this time. Maybe standing up will free your vocals. At the Cross, Miss Ring.
Let me encourage you to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Ephesians. You'll notice on the screen the message is mostly from verse 26 through verse 33, but I wanted to go back and pick up with a few of the verses we looked at last week and very quickly move on to these new verses for this morning. And so we're going to begin actually back in verse 21 down through verse 23. And so Ephesians chapter 5, that's where we're at. The message is entitled this morning, Harmony in the Home. And I hope that's what you'll get from this morning. This is going to be mostly to our men, but ladies, kids, hang on. There's some message in here for you also. But mostly this is going to be directed to our husbands and fathers. So would you stand as we read God's word in honor of his word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 down through verse 23. submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning as we continue this series through the book of Ephesians, as Paul is speaking to us, Lord, how to follow your plan, your blueprint, if you will, for the family. Father, I pray that this message will speak truth into our hearts, that it will change some of the families here in our church. It would be used, Lord, to change others who are outside of our church, who may not know Christ even. And Father, I pray that you would use it not only to change us, change the church, but also change our nation, because so goes the family, so goes the nation. And Father, I just pray that you'll use this message in a wonderful way to bring blessing to our hearts and our lives. Help us, Lord, to hear your word, to hear your voice speaking to us, that whatever we need to do, whatever you lead us to do in responding to your word, Lord, may we do it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, as I begin this message, let me begin by making a statement that all of you should either know or should know. You either do know it or you should know it. And that is that the institution of marriage is in big trouble in America. The number of Americans getting married has dropped to a 40-year low. And I do has been replaced with I won't or I no longer will. Just consider the following. It's estimated that after 10 years of being married, only about 50% of first marriages are successful. That's unreal to hear that kind of statistic. That is that they would still be intact and that they would still be happy. The American divorce rate is more than twice that of 40 years ago. Americans are living longer, they're marrying later, they're exiting marriage more quickly, and choosing to live together before marriage, after marriage, and in between marriages, and as an alternative to marriage. Marriage is even beginning to lose its place in our everyday language. People now tend to speak more about relationships or intimate partners or significant others than they do about marriage. There's a story about a pastor who went to speak to a group of fourth graders on the topic of marriage, and he asked the question. He said, does any of you know what God has to say about marriage? Well, immediately one little boy, he threw up his hand, and the pastor called on him and said, all right, what does God have to say about marriage? The little boy said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's interesting to see what some people have said about marriage. A little boy asked his father a question one day and said, Dad, how much does it cost to get married? And the father replied and said, well, I don't know, son, I'm still paying for it. Some of you are still paying for it. Well, contrary to what society is saying and contrary to what the culture is saying about marriage, marriage is still a good idea. How do we know that? We know that because it's God's idea. It's God's institution that he has instituted. And God never has a bad idea. Now, there's far more to say about marriage than I ever could put in one message. That's why I needed two messages, and there's still more to say about marriage than I could put into two messages. But I do believe that in this passage here, in Ephesians chapter 5, I believe that we find the foundation upon which you can build a marriage that will last. You know, as you think about music, you ever thought about music? Music's made up of three parts. It's made up of melody, it's made up of the harmony, and then there's the rhythm. The melody, you sing the same song. And when we equate that to marriage, a husband and wife need to do that. They need to sing the same song. They need to be on the same page, singing the same song. But with harmony, you sing different parts. You have bass, you have tenor, you have alto, you have soprano. So you've got different parts. And a husband and a wife may sing the same song, but each one sings it, they sing different parts. And then thirdly, in rhythm, you're to sing it in rhythm. Some people have rhythm, and you hear them clapping in a song, and it's off rhythm, and they just ain't got it. Some people have rhythm and some people don't. But in marriage, we ought to be in rhythm. We ought to be singing it together. So it's important that we sing the same song, that we sing it in harmony, and that we sing it together. That's why I've entitled this message this morning, Harmony in the Home. That's what we mean by harmony there. So what then? So what does all that mean for us? God made men and women different so that he might make us one. When he describes marriage in the Bible, it is a man and a woman becoming one in Christ Jesus. And he does that so that we sing the same song, but the man sings one part, takes the lead, the woman sings the other part and harmonizes with her husband, and that's just simply God's plan. Now, there's differences between men and women. There are psychological differences, there are physiological differences, there are emotional differences, there's physical differences. They vary in degrees, but these are tendencies. And so God has a divine design in how he made male and female. He made them separate. There is more that the Bible has to say about marriage than just what Paul has to say, like what Peter has to say in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Here's what he says there. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So understand, God wants you to have the blessings of marriage, like having your prayers answered that he speaks about in that verse. And you can't have that blessing of marriage without your wife, and she can't have it without you. God wants us to have those blessings together. So what else does Paul say about marriage? Well, we learned last week that Paul shared with us God's plan for the marriage, that spouses ought to submit humbly to each other. That's what verse 21 was saying. It's not just the wife who's to submit to the husband. Submitting, he says in verse 21, to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so we need to be submitting to each other. Wives ought to surrender willingly to the husband. That's what he goes on in verse 22 to talk about. And husbands ought to sacrifice completely for the wife, just like Christ did for the church. Now, with that in mind, I want to give you this morning from this passage five things that us men ought to do. So women, don't tune out on me. You remember this. You may want to nudge your husband. You may want to remind your husband of some of these things. I'm going to talk about that in a little while, but I'm going to have a part to share with you about this also, so listen prayerfully to what we have to say. So for husbands, this message is primarily to you. Five things that men ought to do. So many times when we come to Ephesians chapter 5, we say, oh, he's going to talk about submission again. Well, I want to tell you that Ephesians chapter 5 is a much tougher passage on the men than it is on the women. So here's the second part of what men ought to do as a part of God's plan in a marriage. Men, here's the first thing you need to do. Assume responsibility. Assume responsibility. Look back to verse 22 and verse 23. Verse 22 said, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, what I want you to understand from what he's saying there is this is what we call the chain of responsibility, not the chain of command. To be the head literally means that you are the one responsible. It doesn't mean that you exist to have your needs met because you're the head. It means that you exist to meet the needs. Husbands, you cannot escape your responsibility. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says this, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. So when the wife is told to submit to you, it means that she's to look to you. It doesn't mean that she's to be your servant. The fact that she submits to you means that you have to take responsibility to take care of her. And your leadership is to be servant leadership. Again, as we said last week, wives, submission doesn't mean inferiority. So understand this, that we are never more like Jesus than when we have a submissive spirit, whether that's a male or a female. And we're never more like the devil when we have a rebellious spirit. So understand, Christian submission is very simply and plainly one equal voluntarily placing him or herself under another equal. Both are equal. So that Jesus Christ might be glorified. That's all it is. Nothing more, nothing less. One equal, voluntarily placing himself or herself under another equal, that God may therefore be glorified. Now, the wife may have authority in the family, but she doesn't bear the responsibility. Men, here's what I want you to get with this. The buck stops with you. There's no way that you can escape your responsibility. But no Christian husband should demand his headship. Think about that. Think about that in relationship to the head over you. Who is the head over you? Christ is. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't demand headship? Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't force his lordship on you? I mean, if he forced his lordship on us, we'd all be a little better, and we are in some ways, but we would be like robots. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Did you do anything as a Christian to deserve God's love from you? Absolutely not. There is nothing you have done to deserve God's love. Your wife doesn't have to do anything to deserve your love as a husband. You ought to love her just because you love her. That's what Christ did for us. We don't demand headship. Respect and trust are earned. And the Lord Jesus Christ has definitely earned our respect, and he has earned our trust. And so, men, there's no way that you can sidestep your responsibility. So, number one, assume your responsibilities. Secondly, men, here's what I want you to get this morning. Let your wife know she's number one in your life. Let your wife know she's number one in your life. Verse 25 goes on to say this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water by the word. So here's one of the things that your wife needs to know. She needs to know that she's number one in your life, and that there's nobody else above her except for God. That's it. She needs to know that she comes before the children. She needs to know that she comes before your own mother and your own father. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24 says this, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. When your wife knows that she is number one in your life, that'll give her a sense of security to think that of all the people who've ever lived, there's one person who loves her more than any other person on the face of the earth, and that's you. What a feeling that would be to her heart to know that you love her that way and that she's number one in your life. Husbands, we need to treat our wives as Christ treated the church. That's what he says there in verse 25. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, I'm not going to stay very long on this point, but there's some men who aren't guilty of sexual adultery, but you're guilty of emotional adultery. You've been giving more of your time to others, maybe even other women, than you have your own wife. There's a woman who needs to be absolutely number one in your life, and that's your wife. Thirdly, here's what I want you to get, men, is I want you to protect your wife from emotional trauma. Protect your wife from emotional trauma. Again, look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Verse 27 goes on to say, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So notice what Paul is telling us here. He's telling us that marriage and the church are intricately entwined together. The marriage is to be a picture of the church, and the church is a picture of the marriage. Notice that word spot that he gives there, that the Lord presents the church to himself without spot. Well, that word spot means trash. It means refuse. It means dirt in verse 27. It's your job as the husband to keep things from being dumped on your wife, from trash being dumped on her. You have to be careful that you're not the guy who dumps on her. Or that you come home in the evening and you unload on your wife. She wants to know where you're hurting so she can come in and weep with you and hold you and care for you. But you've got to be careful with the things that you unload on your wife. The most important time that you will spend of each and every day is that first 5 minutes at the end of the day when you come home to your wife. If you go right to the house, you go right on through the house to whatever it is your interest. Maybe you're going to go out and work in the garage or you're going to go out and work in the yard and you just go through the house and you go on to do your hobby or whatever it might be. You go right through the house or you go to your iPad or you go directly to your computer or whatever it is. Then you failed your wife. When you get home from work, you need to put her in your arms. You need to hold her. You need to tell her that you love her. You ought to even call her, maybe even on the phone before you get there, and tell her you're coming home and that you can hardly wait to see her. Wives, wouldn't you love that if your husband called you that and told you that? How often do we tell our wives that? That's so very important. Those 5 minutes that say to her, you're number one. And I've not come in here to dump trash on you, but I've come here really to take a load off of you, not off of me, that I might present you to myself without spot. Then notice the next word, wrinkle. Without spot or wrinkle. Ladies, do y'all like wrinkles? I don't know one that would raise her hand that would say that. Not even men really like wrinkles. The word wrinkle is an interesting word there. It speaks there of an internal wound, a trauma, if you will, that shows itself literally sometimes on the face. So this isn't the normal wrinkles that all of us get that he's talking about here, the laugh lines, the crinkly places around the eyes because you laughed a lot through life. But it's talking about sometimes the trauma that comes to a woman who's lived with a man who hasn't really loved his wife like he ought to. That is stressful for any woman. A husband ought to be there to protect his wife. So your assignment from God, husbands, is to make your wife a more radiantly beautiful Christian without spot, without wrinkle. So here's the next thing you're to do. Not only are you to assume responsibility, not only are you to let your wife know that she's number one, not only are you to protect your wife from emotional trauma, but also you're to make your wife feel secure. Notice verse 28 down to verse 29. He goes on to say, you give that picture of the church and that's what Christ is doing in us. And then he says this in verse 28, in the same way. So based on what he's just said about what Christ is doing in the church, here's what you husbands ought to be doing in the same way. In the same way, husbands, you should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. So think about those two words that are given to us there. Think about the first word, nourish. Now, obviously, that means to get nourishment. When you're hungry, you want to eat. When you're thirsty, you want to drink. When you want your needs to be met. And as a husband, it's your responsibility to provide your wife the physical, the emotional, the psychological, the spiritual nourishment that she needs to grow on. You're to nourish her. You're to help her to grow in Christ. But not only are you to nourish her, you're to cherish her. So understand this, when we talk about nourishing and cherishing, you can't do something that you don't already have. So here's a part of the message I want you to get if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're not a Christian. That's the very first thing that you need to get right in your heart and your life. You need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can't have a godly marriage without Christ in the marriage. So you need to get that settled first, so that you can be able to nourish her, but you're also to cherish her. That word cherish actually means to warm with body heat.
An illustration of that is like when a chicken, a hen, lays on her eggs. That hen sitting there on her eggs, and you can come along and walk past, and you try to get those eggs, she'll peck at you, but she won't move. A snake can come by, she'll peck at that, but she won't move. She'll set on those eggs until they're hatched. What she's doing is nourishing them with her body heat. And that's the way, really the way that you can get your wife, as it were, to hatch, if you will. You can't just break that shell. I've always told our kids, especially Christopher is a young male, that you ought to treat your wife like she's a little fragile egg. That you don't want to break it, you don't want to crack it, you don't want to do anything to harm it. You want to protect it as best you can. Because you want to do that to bring glory and honor to the Lord. And so you don't want to break that shell. What you can do is warm her. What you need to do is to take her in your arms, to hold her, to nourish her, and to cherish her with no expectations of it leading to anything else. All too often, as men, that's what we're thinking when we're touching our wife or physically giving that physical affection to her. We think it's going to lead to something else. You need to love your wife, hold your wife, nourish your wife, take her in your arms with no expectations of it leading to anything else. You need to love your wife and make your wife feel secure. She doesn't need to feel afraid. You know, there are a lot of homes across this nation, a lot of homes, even here in Tullahoma, of families who the children are scared to go home because of dad. Wives are afraid for their husband to come home because of the way he treats her and the kids. Your wife needs to feel secure in the home. Of all the places that she comes to, that ought to be a sanctuary, a place of peace, a place of rest, a place of security. Here's the fifth thing that I want to share with you as men. You need to take the initiative to love your wife. Don't wait on her. You need to initiate the love towards your wife. Notice verse 30. He says, we're to do this as Christ does the church, because we are members, verse 30, of his body. Therefore, so he's repeating here a scripture from the Old Testament. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband. Husbands, you need to understand that what it means to cherish your wives, and that it's the husband who's to take the initiative to love your wife. So if the home is wrong, if things are wrong in the home, it's because the husband is wrong. Why? Because we go back to the first thing, you have to take responsibility. You're the head. The buck stops with you. If things are wrong in the home, it goes back to the husband. The husband is to take the initiative. How are we to love our wives? We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Now think about that. Who took the initiative in our relationship with God, in our relationship with Jesus Christ? Who took the initiative to love first? It wasn't us who was seeking God. It wasn't us who was seeking Jesus Christ first. He sought us first. He took the initiative. Jesus did. We love God because he loved us. Henry Barclay wrote this and said, out of ivory palaces into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. Jesus is pictured in the Bible as loving us first. You remember the picture that's given to us in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 about the Savior standing at the door and knocking? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. He took the initiative first to come and knock on the door of your heart. Secondly, look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 11 and verse 12. The Bible says there, no one understands, no one seeks for God. There's not a person here, not a person watching online, who you initiated the love relationship between you and God. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside, verse 12 says. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says this, we love because he first loved us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So understand that picture, Ben. He's saying your life, your relationship in the marriage is to be like Christ's love is for the church. He initiated it first. You need to initiate the love towards your wife. Even if there's problems, even if maybe she did something wrong and you're holding on to bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart, the Bible says that God showed us love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the picture of what you're to be as a husband to your wife. Jesus loved us first, and the husband is to do the same. The man is the one who's to initiate all of this. And you know what the problem with most men is? Know that if men are courting, their goal is to get married. And so they court and they court and they court. We don't use that term much these days, but you talk about that dating relationship that you've got with a boyfriend or girlfriend. You remember back to those days when you were dating, or when some of you did court. You remember those courting days. And you remember how you treated your wife back in those days before she was your wife. And how you went all out for her. You showed your love for her in all kinds of ways. The man's goal is to get married, and so you court and court and court until you get married. And then now that you're married, they go off to another goal. We tend to be goal-oriented, and so we move on to something else. And we're not loving our wife the same way we did when we were courting her or when we were dating her. You know, when you're dating in that kind of relationship and you're doing all kinds of things to show her your love towards her, she can hardly wait to get married because she thinks it's going to be one perpetual courtship. And then when you get married, she wonders what in the world happened. Maybe you remember when you were dating and how you used to come in when you were courting and you would stand by her. Maybe you just stood by her in the kitchen while she's washing the dishes, and you stood by her and you began to help her wash the dishes. And you know, it really wasn't about the dishes, was it? It was about you being next to her, spending some time with her. Understand this, that the courtship should never end with the marriage ceremony. If the courtship went on through the whole marriage, the honeymoon would go on through the marriage. So as a matter of fact, what we need to do, men, is we need to turn up the heat and just continue in that courtship, looking for ways to show our wife that we love her, that we're protecting her, that she's number one in my life. You need to be looking for ways that speak that to her. Understand this, if you've never read the five love languages, I would encourage you to pick up that book. If you can't afford it, call me, I'll get you the copy of it. Because in that book, it talks about what, and helps you to realize what is your love language, and also what is your spouse's love language. Because your love language is not what her love language is. Your love language might be touch. Your love language might be words of affection. That's what builds you up. That's what makes you know she loves you. But hers might just be quality time. There's a difference between us. And you need to know what it is that speaks love to her, not just by gifts. Because that may not be what her love language is. That may be what yours is. That's not what hers is. And so you need to take that initiative to learn about your wife, to learn what her love language is, and to begin seeking to meet her love language. When you do, it's like you begin to fill up the tank of love in her heart. And that's what you want to do in the marriage relationship. And so you need to take that initiative, men, to love your wife. So the rest of you are thinking, well, what does this sermon have to do with me? Well, we've said mostly to the husbands. I want to say a few words to the wives. Wives, don't go home today and say to your husband, did you listen to that message? Or you should have been there to hear today's sermon. Here's what I want to tell you to do. More than anything else, pray for your husband. Pray for your husband to be the man of God that he needs to be. And you be the woman of God that you need to be. And when you do that, and you consistently, continually do that, it's not going to be something that happens overnight that he's going to change. Get this in your heart. He didn't get that way overnight, and most of the time he's not going to change overnight. So you got to keep on praying for him. Keep on praying for him to be the man of God he needs to be. And you keep on, in the midst of all of that, no matter what he does or how he treats you, you keep on being the woman of God that you need to be. And when you do, God will bless your marriage. If your husband isn't what he ought to be, don't nag him to change. Pray for him. Pray for him every day for as long as it takes. And maybe even fast some. We don't like that word fasting. We don't preach on it much as Baptists because we like to eat. But fasting is something spoken of in the Bible over and over that relates to our prayer life. You ought to even fast some, because the change that needs to happen in his life is a spiritual change. And if he's not where he needs to be with God, he's where he is with the devil. And the devil's not going to let him go just that easily. So that's why Paul is going to go on to talk about, in chapter 6, the spiritual warfare. He talks about the family, and he talks about the marriage first. He's fixing to talk about the children. He's fixing to talk about your workplace. And then he's going to talk about spiritual warfare, and it's not disconnected from chapter 5. It's connected to chapter 5. There is a spiritual battle that is going on in homes all across this nation today. You want to see that spiritual change that needs to happen. Know that the devil isn't going to let him go so easy. So you ought to be praying for him and maybe even fasting some. Kids, a few kids that we do have here this morning. Kids, if you're watching online, if your father isn't the husband he needs to be to your mother, then you pray for him. And maybe for him to be the husband that God wants him to be, that God says he should be, and you seek to be the child that God needs you to be. Which will lead, all of that will lead to him being the father he should be, which we're going to talk about later. And so kids, pray for your dad. Pray for your dad to be the man of God, the husband of God that he needs to be. Widows, widowers, you've lost your spouse. You have some wisdom from your marriage. If you're here this morning and you're one of our married seniors, here's what I want to encourage you to do. You pray for God to make these marriages what they ought to be. And pray for God to give you the opportunity to share your wisdom with these young families. Because as we said, as we're going to get to in chapter 6, it is a spiritual battle that is going on in marriages all across our city and even across the church. It's a spiritual battle that's going on in the family. And that's why Paul's going to talk about that in chapter 6. It's not something separate from the family. It's what's happening in the family, in congregations daily. The Bible talks about the power of prayer and fasting. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 says this: "Is not this the fast that I chose, to loose the bonds of wickedness?" Why does he say he's fasting? One of the purposes is to loose the bonds of wickedness, then to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. That's what needs to happen in marriages and families across our churches. There are bonds and there are straps of yokes in the marriage and the family that need to be broken. The psalmist says this in Psalm chapter 69, verse 10 and verse 13. "When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faith." Prayer and fasting are important. Ezra chapter 8 and verse 23 says it this way in the New Living Translation: "So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer." Understand this, some miracles, you as a wife, you may be expecting a miracle in your family. Some miracles only come by prayer and fasting. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 21 says, but this kind never comes out except by prayer and fasting. So let me say this in closing this morning. If your marriage isn't what it ought to be, then talk to each other about what God's word says. Not at each other, but with each other. And then you pray, and maybe even fast, until your family, until your marriage becomes what it needs to be. Now understand this, women. He will never, ever be perfect until we get to heaven. We live in a sinful world, and he's going to be affected by sin just like you're going to be affected by sin in this world. So he's not going to be perfect until we get to heaven. But it can be more blessed than it is. All of us need to begin practicing what God's word says, that there might be harmony in the home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you inspired Paul to write these words about the marriage that we've looked at in these verses in chapter 5. Father, you also are getting ready to tell us and to encourage us that there is a spiritual battle that is going on that we need to be ready for. Some who are here this morning, some who may be watching online, they're in the midst of that spiritual battle in their marriage, and they're hanging on by a thread. Father, I pray that this will be the change that they need in their hearts and their lives. Lord, that they will begin praying for each other, that the husband will begin loving and protecting and serving his wife like a godly Christian man ought to do, that he ought to make her feel like she's the most loved person in his life, doing whatever it takes to do that. And Father, I pray this morning that if there are any who are here this morning that have realized, or any who are watching online, that I can't do that, I can't love her the way I ought to because I don't love Jesus the way I ought to. And they need to come to you by faith and trust in Jesus as their Savior. I pray they would call out to you, dear God, and say, I know I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I believe in what Jesus did for me on the cross, that he was buried in the tomb and arose on the third day. Jesus, come into my life and save me and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Father, I pray that they'll take that step of faith to come and to publicly profess that faith in Christ. If they're at home, that they'd make a comment there so we could follow up with them at home. But Father, I thank you for many who are here this morning who are already Christians, some who are struggling in their marriages, others who their marriage isn't what it ought to be, but it's better than what it used to be, and others, Lord, who they've experienced the blessings of marriage for many, many years, and they have so much wisdom and experience to impart to others. Father, I pray that you would speak to each one of us this morning, that whatever decisions we need to make, Lord, if it's to be used by you to impart our experience and our truth into other young couples' lives, or if it's just simply as a husband or a wife or a child to begin praying for our dad, praying for our father, praying for our husband to be the man of God he needs to be. Lord, I pray that we would even go so far as to begin fasting for that, knowing that if it's something that is so important to us to see changed, we'd be willing to do that, to fast for you. And Father, I pray that you will lead us in whatever decisions we need to be made. Father, I pray that there will be harmony in the home, because if there's harmony in the home, there'll be more harmony in your church, there'll be more harmony in the nation. Have your way and your will in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we stand, as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 317, as the Lord spoke into your heart, will you come this morning as we stand? Brother Mike.
My trusting in his word.
seated for just a moment. Brother Ben Murray, who's back with us, is going to come and share the closing announcements with us. Let me just encourage you, men, love your wife. I wouldn't be the man that I am if it wasn't for my wife, who loves me and prays for me. And you wouldn't be, many of you, who you are without your wives.
Just a few quick announcements. Bethany Stringfield has her hearing test in about 11 days, I think. So be in continued prayer for her. Scholarship applications are due this month, the 20th. The sign-up deadline for the chili cook-off is the 22nd of this month, and more importantly, the chili cook-off is February 1st. And primetimers, there was an announcement, bring soups, salads, and sandwiches, but Pat wanted me to emphasize bring desserts. So bring desserts to that too, please. And then Tuesday at 5 o'clock, the Music Search Committee, Tuesday 5 o'clock, is gonna meet in the conference room. And then also just keep in mind the family of Sue and for the passing of Lee. And Sue, we love you and we're here for you and we'll be from here on out. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much that we have each other. We thank you for all these things that are happening here with you in mind. We ask for your forgiveness, and we're just inspired by this creation that you've made, where frozen water can become snow and just totally change the landscape that you created in the first place. We humbly ask for your forgiveness and continued guidance. We ask all of this in your Son, Jesus' name.